It's one of the greatest tragedies of last year was the Kali Manthan, and it really brings out the importance of use of remote sensing in trying to preserve our national, our world heritage. Now I request Professor Carl Deutsch. Carl Deutsch is the president of the IAF. He's the president of the International Space University. He's been a very active space scientist all throughout his life, and of course a leading figure. He doesn't really need an introduction. Professor Deutsch.
Thank you, Professor Rao. I shall be speaking as a surrogate for Dr. Abdul Majid, the chairman of the Pakistan Space and Upper Atmosphere Research Commission. And I don't think I'll be able to do justice to what he would have said here, but he did provide some notes for the discussion, and I shall try and build round what he had proposed to present to you. Each of you is one person in 6 billion living on this earth at this time. And in that world population, about 2.5 billion people are employed. Of those 2.5 billion, 1.1 billion are employed in agriculture. So that's just a little less than a half. 800 are in the service sector, 800 million, 500 million in industry, and 120 million people are unemployed, seeking gainful employment. A lot of that activity in agriculture occurs in the developing world. In fact, something like about 4/5 of the world's population can be classified as being part of that developing world. And the issue really is, how can this large part of the world's population take part in and be part of the technological evolution that is occurring and which is providing very comfortable lives for many people, access to information networks, access to technological information, and runs the risk of marginalizing the developing world. And it's these issues which Dr. Abdul Majid was trying to address in the talk which he would have presented to you. The impediments that exist in the developing world to being part of this infrastructure, part of what we're involved in, which is space activity, are many. The first is the non-availability of an adequate infrastructure to be able to participate fully in the activities that are leading to such major changes of the society's lifestyle. Another is the non-availability of trained manpower and expertise. And this results to a large extent from illiteracy that is so prevalent in these countries, so that to move from a base which is a fairly low common base of education to the highest levels where you can really make a contribution really is a major challenge and is very difficult to overcome without increasing the overall education level in those nations. And in fact, space could be and is being used as a means for helping boost that education capability. Another priority that was identified, or an impediment, was that space programs per se in the developing nations are not a priority. There are so many activities that need to be dealt with to bring up the general standards of living in the nations that it is very difficult to be able to talk persuasively to governments to invest significantly in areas of this nature. We're fortunate to have Professor Rao here, who in fact has been very instrumental in leading the way in one nation, in India, to have space activity very much applied to their nation, and I think that is a model which many other developing nations could well follow. Year after year, the Indian space program, by focusing the importance of the applications to the national well-being, has Professor Rao and his successor, Dr. Kasturi Angang, have been able to get a national involvement and national commitment to space programs. Economic feasibility of space programs is again a challenge that these developing nations face. How do they actually persuade? Well, what I'm going to do to finish off these comments here is actually deal with the specific areas which Dr. Abdul-Majid proposed be considered as things that are necessary to be done. First of all, he believes that it is necessary to enhance the regional and international cooperation and coordination to promote optimum use of resources in space technologies and to minimize duplication of efforts, so a sharing of the activities. The second is to enhance consultation among member countries for collaboration in remote sensing activities and in planning future systems so that user requirements could be addressed more effectively. Therefore, action must be initiated to promote intensive cooperation among member countries to enable them to benefit from space technology applications through sharing of experiences and expertise. It's the same theme again, only in more detail applied now to the application areas. To increase the awareness of policy and decision makers on the huge potential of space technology applications, including telecommunications, remote sensing, and related technologies for effective management of resources and the environment, disaster prediction and mitigation of effects such as forest fires, floods, drought, earthquakes, tropical cyclones, etc. To adopt a unified approach to utilize fully the existing mechanisms of regional international cooperation in the development and application of space technology, and finally, to initiate cooperative efforts to fully utilize and enhance research and information networking to promote exchange of data and research results in high technology areas. When you listen to what is being said here in this set of recommendations of what needs to be done, what is very clear is that the developing nations are reaching out for help, for support, to become part and parcel of the activities of the 21st century. Thank you.